Steve and Jill here, and
hey.
Justin.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with guest Justin Sliva about the transactions that we've been doing this week. Justin, how's it going?
I've been busy this week. Just another good week. Had some deals fall apart and some other deals not. So we're moving right along.
Awesome. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Alex asks, that's a tough one. Maybe this is a dumb question, maybe not. Is there a way to admit sections of a county from a search on RealQuest so I don't get any data from it? Some counties are heavily populated in one area, but very, very rural on the other side. I haven't found a way to search parcels while eliminating the dense areas. And this is cool because we already have a response in here from one of our members. So Neil H. responded, one way to try to limit results within a county is to specify the site zip code and or site city of the areas you're interested in. Just make sure you select site, the location of the land, as opposed to mailing the location of the owner. This is great. I'm gonna keep going. There's another one.
Then we're going to get Justin's answer.
Okay, good. So another member already wrote in. Joe S. said, there's no omit or does not equal feature, unfortunately. Might be available via the API, but we don't have access to it. At least I don't think we do. It'd be great to omit things like legal descriptions that contain undivided interest or owner names that contain an LLC, which I don't agree with. You want the LLCs. But RealQuest makes money for every record that you download, so there isn't much incentive for you to be more selective about just those records. Just shake your head as you filter them out in Excel.
That's right.
That's really good. And then, is this the last one?
Yeah.
I think, okay, so one more. Derek R., this is so cool. Everybody's kind of already answering the questions.
It's a super important topic, and it's super appropriate for Justin. Go ahead, Joe.
Derek R. says, try to get an assessor's map. A lot of counties have these online. Search, you know, county name, state, GIS. You can usually use the map to get the township range sections and get pretty specific. Just add the criteria for the less dense areas that you're to your search. I've been able to narrow down to very specific blocks of the county using this approach. Hope this helps.
Here's the whole point here. What he's saying is, and it's a familiar problem with us who crunch data all the time, in any given county, there's properties that are worth more and then properties that are worth less. As simple as that. And you can actually, if you look, think about it in your head, you can think about a county map. There's one section that's really cheap, one section that's ultra expensive, and maybe some stuff in between. We all deal with it. So, Justin, how do you deal with it?
I use the radius function. Like, I'll pick an address right in the middle and then do a radius around that and then work from that if I'm working through RealQuest. I've got a data tree thing, too, and I know we're coming with House Academy. You can actually just freehand your map of what area you want. So it makes a little difference there, too. So both options. I know guys have priced it by book and page and do things like that, but I use the radius function. It's simple. It's easy.
I mean, my whole point in including this question, I actually handpicked this question from Land Investors today for us to talk about it, is that quite simply this. There's a lot of ways to address this issue.
That's a good point.
And honestly, I don't just stick with one. I try different stuff all the time.
That's true.
And it still yields pretty much the same results. I mean, do you still have the same results, Justin?
Yeah, it doesn't change. And the difference of going through a less dense or a more popular area, I just adjust the pricing for that. So I may go and say, okay, hey, this is right here by this, and then the APN scheme, and then price it a little bit different. I'm still going to send the mail now. And that's, I think, that's kind of an important part to have. And sometimes I'll just say, hey, I'm going to throw a cheaper offer at the more dense part and see what comes back. And like we had Chuck, one of the members, he said he sent an offer for $8,000 and came back and worth $80,000. He sold it in day in the market. So that was because he just mailed him with the same offer he would in a less dense area, and he got one back.
Yep.
So that's huge.
Isn't that true? All these oops can result in good stuff.
Yeah, some of the best home runs I've ever done were because I sent mail to places I shouldn't have for low offers that are ridiculously low.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not advocating trying to hit a home run all the whole time, but it happens.
Yep.
So it's okay to accidentally find a nut. Is that what the squirrel, the blind squirrel, finds a nut every now and again?
Exactly.
It's okay for that.
Tell us about the deals you're doing this week, Justin.
Yeah, so it's been pretty good. We've had a few fall apart that we're going through going into escrow that we bought, we okayed last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, dead air, somebody wasn't sure on a purchase agreement, things like that. Then we've had a few that just popped in that were just like so close to making us do it. Like if it was something I got back in the mail, I would do it all day. But when you start bringing a partner in, it makes it a little bit tight. And so you're like, the comps aren't super solid. You're like, your gut tells you it could do 30 or 40,000 bucks. They're getting it for 12 or 13, but there's a lot of stuff listed just outside of the area for 20. And you're like, yeah, you know? And so you're giving that feedback and you hope that they're growing from it and everybody's, you're still making money. So, exactly. You know, it's a,
I'm getting those too. Are you sending, and I'm telling them that while I'm referring them either to you on some of those or land tank.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that too. Cause just because I don't see it doesn't work for me. There might be someone else that's going to be happy to split $10,000 or $8,000 or something. Cause it's not that much going into it. I totally agree. And I'm with you. I'm trying to really give valuable feedback. And I had to redline a couple this week and it was just simple, no access, like clearly no access. And for the money and what we're talking about, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'm seeing a lot is someone too is just not a good acquisition price. And I think that they're trying to see a deal that's not necessarily there. Mm-hmm. You know, you get excited about it, you're like, oh, I think this will work. Don't try to, if it's not there, and that's why it's good that you and I are here, you know, we're another pair of eyes for these guys to go, all right, no, move on, open the next piece of mail.
You know what I think would be really helpful for both of you guys to answer, Justin, go, please go first, is what are you looking for? What's your acquisition criteria?
For me, I want to see access. That's the first thing I look for. If I see a desert county, I tend to scrutinize those a little bit more just because I don't get excited about them. And that's not to say there's not money, and we've done really well on them. But when I see like a 40 acres for $12,000 in anywhere Nevada or Arizona, I'm like, okay, well, what's going on with this place? And then I have to really understand that market. Sometimes it's a good deal. It's a solid deal. And we say, yeah, sure, let's jump all over it. But you know, a lot of times what I'm starting to see are, and this is kind of segues off your question for a little bit, and I'll finish the question, but people want to scale up. So instead of finding markets that are more expensive and then working those, they kind of shop the same markets and just add a little bit of price to the acquisition price. And so it's like in their mind, they're, oh, I'm doing a $10,000 deal when it really should be a $4,000 or $5,000 deal.
Right.
And so, but access margins, I want to see the value is 3 times the money. And that's not to say what's what we're going to sell it for, but I want to see that potential is there because we'll probably double our money really fast. And we both make, I make 25% of my money, you make 20 and you make 25% of what the initial thing was, but we made it and we turned it really fast. You know, we do that in 20 or 30 days. That's a great day for all of us. And we keep churning those deals, but I like to see the value. So if it's a $10,000 deal, we always say this for easy math, 10,000, it's worth 30. You know, if it's a $20,000 deal, I want to see that it's worth the comp support, $55,000, $60,000. Now we may sell it for 40 and but I want to see the values there.
Exactly.
So, I want to be, I'm sorry. The last point is we want to see that the end user could really use it for what you're telling me it comps for. So if you're telling me it's going to be a subdividable neighborhood, it doesn't need to be across from a dump, or it doesn't need to be across from a, you know, if you say it's a commercial lot and then it's got an easement, a power line easement running all the way across it, what's a business owner going to do with a high power easement running across the middle of his 10 acres or 12 acres, whatever that is?
That's a so, lot.
Yeah. And I don't mean that to, and I'm not, I don't want to sound condescending at all because these are deals are churning and they have some value to them because they're probably worth something to someone in the right way. But that's where we have to get that acquisition price down. You know, it is what it is.
And I'm doing that. I'm helping people. I'm telling them, and I'm like, hey, like I have one right now in, I think it's Georgia, and we did a perk test.
Okay.
And the perk test came back that the front half of the property, it's too, you can't use it because of potential flooding, but the back half you can. I'm like, all right, now I'm not so thrilled about this property, A. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to some builders right now to see if it can work. We found that it can work, but we're still not sure. But then I thought, you know, worst case scenario, we're either going to walk from it now that we know this, or we can use this to get it down to a price where it does make sense. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't love it at this, but now that I know what's possible, and we can go back to the owner and say, hey, we have a perk test to show you what's going on here.
Yeah.
How we're changing our thing. And then we're all happy. I still might go forward.
Yeah. So,
but I'm with you. Like I look for the same thing with the margins and that, but also I'm looking for, I want a short hold. You know, mm-hmm. I want something that it's just in that nice sweet spot that we all know we can flip it real fast. I want it to be ready to use. I really don't want a property, you know, my favorites, I'm not going to turn it down, but my favorites are the ones that I can sell it to the end user and they can use it and start loving it today.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then my third is with you, the access.
Yep.
That's my. Yeah.
There's a lot of futuristic dreaming.
Yeah.
Yep.
With this funding effort that we don't make decisions on our own property like this at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do anything to it. I want to buy it and resell it.
Yep.
I don't want to put a subdivision. I don't want to think about putting a funeral home on it or making it a cemetery. Cause we all know that improving property like that is a huge profit center. Mm-hmm. It also takes forever. So,
yep. And that's not what we're in the business for. We're in to get this deal flipped for you and get you building your wealth so you can continue to keep doing this. And so if you want to take on one of those projects with the money you made with this, I'm all for that. And I want to high five you because I want to learn from it. But ideally I want you to do some transactional deals with me, make 30 or 40, 50,000 bucks, and then buy that $50,000 piece of property, turn it into a subdivision, split it all up, and then come back to me and get some more funding on some more deals and generate some more wealth. And that's ideally what we're here for. The what if in the attributes form. Well, what if we made it a this, or, you know, if we do this to it, it's going to be that. If you have to sell me with, if we do this to it, I don't want
correct.
It.
Correct.
That's what
I want it for half the price you're offering it for.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. That's exactly.
You know why? Right. Because there's going to be 40 more deals next week.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't mean for us. I mean for the person who's sending the mail out, the manager. Right.
Yeah.
If you're doing everything right.
Right. I want everyone to take, I see everybody was all excited and I respect that. And they're getting all these deals and they find something. This might be good. Let's submit it. Okay. This is great. Before you do that, let's take a little bit of extra time and please put all your, you spend 30 minutes on it before you send it to me. And then we're all going to feel good and you're going to send me better deals. And you're gonna start redlining them yourself before it gets to me. Because sometimes I feel like I'm sending back a response and they're going, oh, yeah, you know, you could have found that out.
they said this response. They go, that's what I thought too, but I wanted to get your opinion before I'm gonna start sending invoices. What do you charge for a deal review, Steve?
Exactly.
I'm gonna start sending your invoice to him.
You owe me 20 bucks.
Yeah, you owe me 20.
You owe me a beer tonight. Here's my Venmo.
Yeah, here's my Venmo Cash App.
You know what? I will say this on the air to the mass public. If you buy me a drink, I will talk to you about your deal.
Yeah.
Oh, here it comes.
He's about to get a bottle of Tito's. It's going to be in the inbox tomorrow. He's just going to be stuck.
Here it comes.
All right, so I'm going to ask. So we talked about that. Now I'm going to ask you guys another set of questions. Justin, go first and Joe second. So we've talked about what the angst and all this. What? Give us a great story about a deal that you accepted that was perfect this week.
This week, I'm going to have to, you caught me off guard there. I didn't have my deal board up. Yeah. Let me look. Yeah. We had one in, Ludenburg, Virginia. I've given the county out and that's not a big deal. It's under contract. It's in escrow. We're getting it for 17. It's going to sell for about $55,000-$60,000. It was timbered about 18, 20 years ago and it's full of hardwood too. So, and then in the east up there, you have those different exit strategies. You've got timber, you've got some pine, but hardwood every now and again, you get the right hardwood tree and it's just super valuable. So, you know, the manager actually drove his family. His parents live kind of close there. So he drove his family down and they went to visit it and he went and looked at it. And I think it got him really amped. I was like, you don't supposed to do that, but the guy told us it had been timbered at one point. And I said, hey, that's kind of a red flag for me. Let's get some eyes on it. Either hire somebody local to take a picture or, you know, he said, well, my parents live 20 minutes away. I can drive down there and visit my parents this weekend. I was like, I'd rather have your opinion than, you know, somebody strangers though. And he walked the property. He showed me his GPS trail all the way across the property. I kind of walked it. So, that to me is we've got somebody that's committed to the deal. That's this kind of manager you want worth it. It's got potential of making quite a bit of money. This first deal is going to put him on the map for continued growth. I think realistically it sells for 35,000-40,000 bucks. He's going to make, we take out the 20, he's going to make 10,000 to 15,000 bucks out of this deal. And, you know, his next deal, he won't need me. He'll move on or he'll buy $3,000-$5,000 deals. And I'm 100% okay with that. And I wish him all the success in the world.
You know, a year from now, that kind of person is going to need you because he's going to run out of acquisition money.
Yeah.
He's that guy sourcing it.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And that's, you know, people say, can you spend yourself? We spend ourselves out and then we get it back. We spend it back out again. We don't take our money back. We're not taking any distributions from this. I'm just turning it all back into Plum. Yeah. So this is, that's what we're trying to do, is to see this grow to a point where we make it self-sustaining for the managers out there to where they're making that kind of money. And we're not, it's not about me buying the cool thing. It's about me helping that community back out and seeing it grow. So.
Totally. It was funny. I had one that just a similar thing where the guy did a little drive out to the property and it looked great on paper and looked great on the maps. And he's like, it was a dump. like the neighbors, he's like, I don't know how I'd have to go out there.
Do you have an example of a deal that worked?
A good one that worked though. Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of funny. That was good because the manager was like, I wrote him back. I'm like, it sounds like it's strike three on this one. He goes, yeah, that is strike three for me too. I'm walking too. Let's move on. So no, but I've got one. It's like similar numbers right now. I just wired the money today. It's 5 acres, LA County.
Oh, nice.
Access. It's a manager that we all know and love and is very on the ball. And, you know, it's buying it for 15. I know it's worth 50. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to, and it's probably worth 80. We're going to probably sell it for 50.
I saw that deal in there.
Yeah. I literally just walked in and wired the money today. I walked in and my transaction coordinator said, handed me a slip of paper and just saying, here's the routing number. Go do it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's making me so happy, by the way, too. We finally found our groove.
Yep.
And we're really getting through with the deals quicker and faster, and we can handle reviewing more. And
it's funding is different than buying. Yeah. It's a real different deal. I didn't fully realize it until we got into it.
Yeah. I got one that I can't share yet because it's not in escrow, but I'm like, yippee-ki-yay. It was like most of these, I'm not necessarily leaning on Steven, but I had one that I'm like, I'm looking at it going, this looks like a home run to me. I don't even want to say the state. I could say the state.
Yeah.
Okay. State's Colorado. And I got two deals from this same person. One deal I went, this doesn't work because it's flat out access.
Yeah. Said,
but hold on a moment. I need to really spend some time on this one. And I went looking all over and I'm like, shucks. I mean, I'm finding like, this is like looking like a run to the bank situation. So I even was questioning myself and I'm like, Steven, I know I hate to bother you, but will you please give me another pair of eyes on this one? He's like, yeah, I see what you see. So we're going to work on that one really quick today. And I'm like, it's like 10 acres in a,
it's on a county road.
Oh, wow.
Insane. And it's 10. Then I'm trying like to,
we're going to put a sign on it.
It's priced. It's priced to buy it at like $3,500 an acre. Mm-hmm. And my comps I'm finding are at $18,000 an acre and up.
Wow.
And that's where I sat and did the math going, am I looking at this ring right?
Yeah.
So they found an awesome opportunity and we're going to be talking in like, as soon as we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like wanting to know more about the deal. I'm like, okay, can I see it? I just want to look at it.
Yeah. No.
I want to pet it. No, that's great.
And this is a new thing for them. They're brand new. They're fairly new. Oh, I don't know how. Yeah. They've done house transactions, but not land transactions.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of like, and then I'm like, all right, you guys found something good here.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That's awesome. We're seeing a lot of the house guys starting to kind of make a turn to come back towards land. We're getting a lot of calls from people like that and a lot of people reaching out to our podcast, Casual Fridays podcast, because of that as well. They're like, hey, we found you. We just looking up REI stuff. You popped up. We've been house investing. What do you know about land? Like, oh, we know all kinds of stuff. Check out this podcast too. And we push them to y'all's and then and let them talk through the ebook. So, I mean, that's always awesome to see.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Another question for both of you guys. As a percentage of the deals that are coming in, because I know you both are getting more deals in now, what are you accepting? Has acceptance percentage gone down?
Yeah, we're probably 8 to 10%, we're seeing a bunch of package deals come in too. That hey, I've got this guy. I reached out, offered on this one property. Then he's got 10 more. Can you look at them with me? And then we'll go through those. We've had about 100 properties come in, and I've got a meeting tonight set up for a guy. He's got all in 4,000 total acres from one guy. And then another one's like 200 plus acres and a bunch of different properties. And they're in, I think Missouri or Georgia area, kind of either east of the Mississippi, but we're going through that tonight just to kind of see what he has, because it's just a lot of property, a lot of big bulk deals coming up from old developers or land hoarders, and they're wanting to kind of start dispersing. They tend to do that around tax time. Everybody's like, oh, let's just disperse our stuff. So
exactly. What's your percentage, Bob?
Yeah, I'm going to say
1 in 10.
10? I'm saying I'm sitting around 10. So I'm feeling I'm good. I'm good with it. Yeah. So, and I'm giving good feedback. I mean, and it's, and most of the deals though that I'm passing on, they're not good for anybody. There's really a small percentage that I'm like, gosh, this is, I see something there, but just not for me.
Yeah.
Here's what I think you should do with it. But a lot of them, it's just not a good deal for anybody.
So yeah, those
I'm stopping them and saving them right there, and I'll give them the feedback. Here's why, you know, if you do what you want with that, but
yeah,
I don't think you want this one at all. So, and yeah. I think everybody's very appreciative of that.
You know, we took a question on land investors this week, and we talked about it on the podcast, and it went something like this. I'm brand new. I joined Land Academy, and I sent some mail out and got a bunch of responses, and several of the responses I received have paper-driven flaws in the deal or some type of flaw with the real estate. And his question was, is there some way that we can hone in on a skill to solve this stuff? And so my statement was this. If you can solve the dead person problem, you're going to do really well. Mm-hmm. If you can take access-less property that doesn't have any access, and get access, that for somehow reason you're an attorney or you're good at this kind of thing, you will be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's something to think about. So we sit here and talk about this property. Oh man, it's just, we can't, it's all access.
Yep. No, you're exactly right. We had, I'll throw Jake's name out there. He's him and his stepmom, Delphine. They joined Land Academy last year. I met them at a house, a wholesaling REI meetup, and we got to talking. He asked me to go to lunch, and I started talking about land instead of house wholesaling, which was what I was doing as well at that time. And they used that skill and took a lot of these landlocked properties or accessless properties, put them under contract, reached out to the neighbors, and then made an assignment fee. And they turned that skill from over there and brought it into what they do, you know, and what we can do in land. And they had some great success doing that early on. It helped save a couple of mailers for them where they sold four or five properties like that. You know, that's huge for somebody to take that. The dead people deed, that doesn't scare me anymore. Once you do a few of them and you learn the joint right of survivorship or the affidavit of heirship, and you can prove that, hey, it's somebody that's a family member, let them do it.
Yeah.
Or you go to title with it because you're buying a property that's big enough, title, clean it up. You can get around those pretty easily, and you can make, like you said, some of my best deals had a little bit of hair on it. We run through title, do a quiet title action, spend $2,200 or $3,000 in closing, and then you still make $60,000. And you're like, oh, yes. That's the good thing about that. A little more hair takes a little bit longer, negotiate the price down. But you know, in the funding side, that doesn't work. But on my personal land business, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah. Exactly. So I've heard both of you last week talk about broker opinions. How do you, Justin, how do you use broker opinions?
I use them on properties. Like, so I got one in today and I've been emailing back and forth. He's a newer member. And it's like, so the way the town is, the way the city, it's right outside of a city. It has utilities to it. And it's like the town has a trash service to this 8.5-9 acre property. And it's on one side of the highway. The other side is the ocean. It has like a nature reserve in the ocean. So like this property should be worth, if it was on the east side of about $200,000. It's on the west side and there's nothing sold in that area in so long, you can't really find a good comp. And then 40 miles inland, you have a bunch of like the comps at about $25,000-$30,000.
Sure.
So I told him on that one, I was like, man, we kind of need somebody that knows that market really well to get us an opinion. So this is where you poke around and I call a broker or say, hey, I've got, my grandma's wanting to sell her property, you know, in this area. Do you mind helping me out and tell me what you think it's worth? And then they're like, oh yeah, this one's worth here. We did that with a property in Kentucky we bought, and it was 16 acres on a lake. I had a cabin and a trailer house, 2 8-acre lots. And I think we just closed on that. We couldn't figure out what it was worth because don't hate me for this. It doesn't have access. Access is by the water. But they have a restriction that we didn't know about on that lake, that no new buildings can be built. So since there's a cabin and a trailer house, and we talked about this a few weeks ago on Finance Friday, that you can rehab it and build whatever you want. You can rehab whatever, you can't new build.
Walls.
So yeah. Yeah. So that's a property we use a broker opinion. I call a broker. She goes, oh yeah, that's worth easy six figures. And you're like, okay. She's like, what are you getting it for? I'm like, it's not, I don't know, is it locked up yet?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to talk to my partner. But it, you know, we got it bought. They signed last week, and the deed should be getting recorded this week if it hasn't been recorded yet. So, you know, those are the times I use broker opinions. When I can't find a solid comp and my gut tells me, hey, I think conservatively it's going to be a double, but it could be a home run because of this, this, and this. And then I'll get a broker involved that knows the area and say, hey, what do you think about this? And I've had broker opinions be 100% wrong. We had a property in Colorado. Broker opinion was 110 grand. All day it sells for 110 grand. We ended up selling it after 9 months for 21,000 bucks. Oh. We paid seven for it. We still did okay, but it was not the, you know, this magnificent grand slam, bottom of the ninth, you know, walk off grand slam that we all thought it was going to be. It turned out being a decent payday, but it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. So take broker opinions with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
How do you use them?
I'm using primarily for bigger properties because I don't want to come in too hot, you know, or too low.
Yeah.
And I'll get a couple. Like I'm going to try, like I've got one in particular. Yeah. I'm trying to get, well, and one of the brokers went dark. That's fine. He's just like, whatever. So I've got one right now and I'm expecting another one this morning. So it'll be today. That'll be good. So I'll have two and that they're in aligned, which I think they will be, especially based on what I got back from the first guy. He really had some solid comps and said, I mean, it was really nice. It wasn't just a guess. This first broker opinion came back with, here's who bought the property next to it and here's what they paid. And this is why I think X. And he was actually, I kind of like this guy already because he even said, and the way I'm telling you to price it is to, you could go higher, but I think you probably want a fast sale. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. So
that's
that was good.
With.
Exactly. So far, this is the guy. So
yeah. Big commercial properties. So. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And that's usually for those.
I think. Yeah. I mean, Jill's going to ultimately decide. I think we need a local in that market, seasoned commercial real estate land guy to do these deals.
That's who it is.
It just knows everybody. That's how commercial real estate is.
Right.
Yeah. They want to know when the dirt's on available and they know exactly who to call when the dirt's available. They have five or six guys that buy all the dirt in that area and they call them directly.
That's it.
And they say, and if it sits on the market, it's because the regular guys passed it and there's something wrong with it.
Right.
Yep. So
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had
you mentioned this Kentucky property. That's the whole premise for Mobile Academy. I'm filming House Academy right now. And after that, Mobile Academy. And the whole premise is, you just can't build or replace properties any longer there at all. You have to buy one and improve it. And so the people who own these properties have no idea about it. They don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
When they get an offer for a slightly more than probably retail, because you really know what it's worth.
Yeah.
They're just getting signed all day. So, and I learned this from a member on a consulting call. He's explaining, he's like, you don't probably realize it, but this is how we use Land Academy. And you know, he's making a fortune. So we're taking it to the next level too.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's crazy the things that you see when the guys manipulate the data a little bit and they start sending it out and getting stuff back and they make it their own. There's quite a few people actually doing mobile homes in the group. And as you start talking to them, they start explaining to them, like, man, I don't want to learn another niche right now, but it's interesting to hear. Yeah, I'm like,
Don't tell me. Now I'm going to get even less sleep. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to have to do that too. Darn.
Yeah. Hey. No, that's
the only reason I can spend any time on any of this is because Jill's doing all the funding.
Yep. Yeah. Just wait. You're about to get hit with it when you get done with all this. Are you going to keep recording courses next up?
Yeah. Like,
you know how some people are just career academics and they just get a job. They just stay in school. That's what I'm
doing. You're just going to stay on camera.
Love this. I'm in my zone now. I love this right now. Yeah. This deal funding. I'm addicted.
Yeah. It's kind of slowed me down because between the houses and the deal funding right now, it slowed my normal land business down. I had a couple pieces. I have my eBay side, but then I have my other side and it's kind of pretty much inventory's out. So at the live event, we're going to do a live mailer and it's going to actually be for me just so I can show some people how I do it. And I'm actually, I need to get some mail out. I got to get some more mail out and get it going. But we just closed on one of our houses today and then we got another one, had a contract on it, less than 10 hours on the market. So That was not a bad deal. Yeah.
I've been seeing them on social media.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I was super stoked with that one. We had three people ask to come in early, and then we told them to hold on their offers because it wasn't live yet. Then first person came back, everybody went to their mortgage company, got their approval letters. Guy comes back. He's a 100% disabled vet, made pretty close to a full price offer. We negotiated with him a little bit just out of respect for, you know, what he's done for our country. And they locked it up. We closed in about 19 days on it. So not a bad day. Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. So now it's time to get back in the land business. So watch out. Y'all might get some mail in a box here pretty quickly.
Cool.
Awesome, guys. Good episode.
Thanks.
Well, you did it again. Spend another 30 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for another interesting episode.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was good.
Justin, that was a tip.
Good show.
To plug yourself.
For those who haven't heard yet, we have Casual Fridays REI podcast. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's about 15 to 20 minutes of just casual talk about land investing and other investing things like that. And then, you know, always Plum Investment Group. If you need help funding a deal and land investors don't want to help you out, you can give me a call. We'll take a look at it with you. So, and then
you have
Land Tank as well. That's a third option. So it's great to see all the options coming together to put more money in this niche for us, because ultimately that's what grows this niche and it grows that marketplace for us.
Totally.
Jill's secretly planning a Land Academy live event for us also in the next couple of months, which is, you want to describe it?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to it on the next member call, by the way.
Okay, nice.
At 1 o'clock. But right now I'm looking at the first or second weekend in April.
Okay.
And in Scottsdale. And one day it's really, basically it's a result of the survey that we put out. I don't know if you did the survey. Mm-hmm. The number one thing they asked for was networking. I said, all right, fine. So we're going to do a one day networking thing. And that's really what it's going to be about.
Not a lecture, not a presentation.
Okay. Not really mail.
Just a come on over and let's all talk to each other.
Yeah. Oh,
cool. Are you going to do it on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay. I'd love to be there, but I'll be coaching a little league team. I'm already having to miss it for our live event. So I can't miss another one as a head coach. They have enough kids to show it. They had more kids than parents willing to volunteer. So I signed up to coach. So,
you're a good dad.
Yeah. So
I remember coaching. I coached all the way through.
Did you?
Until the kids pulled me aside and said, you shouldn't be our coach anymore.
Yeah.
you keep cussing at the other kids. Yeah. Quit cussing at the kids, Dad.
Angry individual.
Well, the way he coaches is pretty darn funny, actually.
Yeah.
The Detroit comes out.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
I take the Bobby Knight approach to coaching Little League.
Right. I haven't got there yet, but it's like I can feel it coming.
All right. On that note, wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please rate us there. We are Stephen, Jill,
and Justin. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property. Thanks, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good talking to you as well. I need an I word. So you got information, inspiration, and
I thought about
intrigue.
Intrigue.
Incredibleness.
Love it.
So, all right.
Thanks.